Hebrews chapter 5, and we will be reading the whole chapter through verse 14. In Hebrews chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, these are God's words. For every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness. Because of this, he is required, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer sacrifice for sins. And no man takes this honor to himself, but he who is called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was he who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." As he also says in another place, "You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek," who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and was heard because of his godly fear, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Those are God's words. Christ is our high priest, but he is not the high priest after the Aaronic priesthood. We read about a lot in the Old Testament. We've heard a lot in Numbers recently. But after a new order, he is a high priest. That is the order of Melchizedek from Genesis. Melchizedek, like Melchizedek, who was a priest king. So Christ, the priest king or mediator king, is a priest forever. And as priests offered sacrifices, so Christ offered the once for all sacrifice of himself to satisfy God's justice, even coming incarnate and humiliating himself, being able to sympathize with the weaknesses of mankind and his people who he'd save. He died in their place and in the place of God's children. And what makes Christ the perfect high priest forever? Not that he took the office himself, which is a point made here in verses 5 and 10, but it was given to him by the Father. Christ is then the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him, verse 9. And the remaining verses then, especially as you heard at the very end, are a rebuke upon the Jews who would have been hearing this. This was to the Jews in the time of the New Testament. They should have known these things that we just talked about. These things of Jesus Christ being the mediator king forever. The perfect sacrifice. But they didn't know this. And there were other things that we'll hear next Lord's Day they should have known. It's at the very beginning of chapter 6. You can read it later. They should have known these beginning things, the author says. The elementary things, he calls them. Baby things like milk. But they needed to grow on from that milk and start eating solid food, but they still hadn't consumed the milk and understood it. And so there's much like that, of course, as we think of the church today, beloved. Many things that God's people should know about Christ, about the gospel, about the church, but they do not. They are here, and we with them, if we don't know these things, we are rebuked too. We are to know the pure milk. But to not only know the pure milk, but to move on to the solid food, the meat of the gospel. We never leave the pure milk away. We never leave it and put it aside. It always should be there in our hearts. But we move on to the solid food, the meat of the gospel as we grow in Christ. And so, beloved, we're called here in our priest king to move on to maturity in Christ Jesus. Well, we ought to do so. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we give you praise that you have given us of your Son, whom you sent, you gave, you delivered up for us all. And you gave him as he came and he was sent and he willingly came. He was incarnate and humiliated to the and made under the law and made to be under the temptations that we have to go through and made to feel the weaknesses of body just as we do. And Father, he had to learn obedience in his human nature and suffer even to the point of death on a cross. So Father, we're thankful for him who can sympathize with our weaknesses. Yet we give you praise that he was always and always will be without sin, never disobedient to you, despite the many temptations that came and the many things that came upon him and in his body. Father, never once did he forsake you. Never once did he turn from you. But he sacrificed himself for us because he loves us and always will love us. And Father, we are thankful for our priest, our mediator, who also reigns as king, who sits now on the throne having been given all things. And we give you praise that he is ruling and reigning for the good of the church, his bride. And we have great comfort in that. And Father, as we have been, as we've heard from this your word, we've been rebuked by your word that we ought to move on, not to leave it behind, but to move on to the solid food, the solid meat of great doctrines pertaining to the gospel and the church. And Father, we ask for your help. We are not able to do it of ourselves. But Father, we ask that you would give us a desire for it. And your Spirit to, as you give us the Spirit equipping us and strengthening us for the task and the duty of moving on from the pure milk to solid food of your Word. Father, grow us in knowledge and love of your Son, Jesus Christ, and for the bride, the church. And Father, we do pray for the church today, the church throughout the world, which continues to turn from you often, even as we do at times. Father, we ask that you would turn them from their sin and turn them to you. Bring to them humility, not pride, but humility to search your word and by your Spirit. Father, we ask that you would give them true food. And that you would sanctify your bride throughout the world. And Father, we do not pray this in pride. We do not pray this thinking that we're better. We ought not to. But we pray knowing that it is by your grace that we are where we are today. But Father, we are not perfect yet. And so, Father, help us and our knowledge, but not only that we would grow in knowledge in our minds and understanding of your word, but that you would put it within our hearts and move us in our affections and our desires to love you, and that we ought to respond to all these truths that we hear with joy and zeal and passion for you and your Son. We shouldn't become cold from it, but hot. And Father, may you make us like the boiling water which boils over the pot, and that you would grant to us passion to tell others of these great truths. We're thankful this evening as in our presbytery, you have seen fit to bring about many new churches, many new congregations of your one church, and even a new church plant this evening, a meeting for the first time to worship you, Father, in Oklahoma City. And we pray for their worship, that you would bless them, you would bring visitors, and you would bring to them new believers, new disciples, and that you would use them in that city to have your word go forth, the gospel go forth, and many would be saved and grow in Christ Jesus, your Son. We're thankful especially for the Stillwater Church that you've used to bring this about in this time, and pray for Bruce, their pastor, and even their elders, but also Ram Prakashpalan, who's interning there this summer. We pray that their efforts there would find fields white for harvest, as you promise, and you would bring in great fruit. As the same as we pray here, and you would bless our efforts and raise up volunteers here to go out into the community and tell people about Christ, your Son, and that you would help us and equip us to make disciples, teaching them everything that you've commanded to us in your word, not holding back anything, even the bad sounding things to the world. Father, we pray that you would give us boldness and the strength of your Spirit. Father, we do continue praying for John's sister, that you would find her. And Father, we ask that you would bless us and our finances as a congregation. You're the God who's provided all things. We're thankful that we can see that from last year that there seems to be more giving now, and we praise you for that. Not that you need this money, but we ask that you would give us cheerful hearts in our giving, so that the gospel will continually be proclaimed here, and that we will be able to continue to meet here. And maybe as you grow us, and we pray, and we know that you will grow us because you're the God who grows your church, and you're spreading the gospel to the ends of the earth, that you will provide a new place in the future that will be bigger, not so that we can be exalted before man, but that your name would be given glory as the God who saves and the God who sanctifies and the God who sends your Spirit and changes hearts. Father, we ask for your help in all of this. We are unable. We do not build the church. You build the church. So we ask that you would equip us to be weak instruments, trusting your grace is sufficient for us. And we know it is because you promise so. Father, help us in all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm.